put the boo in the Ikabula tribe this Halloween by getting all of your Halloween stuff at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robisawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robisawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino here with our exit interview number 5 on the season, and it's our first one post-swap, and today we're going to be talking with CeCe Taylor, who got voted out of the tribe last night. Blindside, she thought it was going to be Michelle. Ultimately, it was her, as Chris decides to flip over to the millennials and David follows suit. And that's what we're going to talk about on our exit interview. Just got done with our Survivor Know-It-Alls this morning with Stephen Fishback. We did it this morning because of the debate on Wednesday night. We didn't want to counter-program that. So we did the Know-It-Alls this morning, and you can check that out. Hopefully that will be up in the podcast feed shortly for you guys as well. Plus, Kimmy Kappenberg on the recap today, and then voicemails with Ali Lasher coming up tonight. So busy day. So let's get into it. I see that we have CeCe on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. CeCe, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, CeCe. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, very good, CeCe. And looking forward to diving into all of this. So how surprised were you to have the votes ultimately go against you at that tribal council last night?
I'm smiling right now because I was super surprised. I'm just like, really? Did that just happen? Wait a minute. We just said we were doing this. I'm just like, oh my God, blindside. So totally, totally surprised, you know, by the outcome.
Now, last week we saw David play his idol to save Jess, who seemed like that was somebody who was not as close of an ally as you were to him.
Exactly.
Why play an idol on Jess and then not play an idol on you?
I know. That's the question of the day. I'm just like, I can't believe it. I'm like, Jessica wasn't even part of our alliance, and she wasn't even like, you know, she wasn't even a factor because she was on the outs with her majority. So why save someone who's not even a factor? And I'm like, I'm loyal to you and I'm trusting you. That was like the biggest heartening part of the episode. It's like, what? You had an idol and you didn't use it on me, and you thought about using it and you didn't use it. And I'm just like, oh my God, I hate you so much right now. So yeah, I definitely was heartbroken from that.
Did you and David try to do anything to put Chris at ease after the vote that went against his side of the alliance after you guys had swapped?
I wouldn't say so much. So it was more like we had a conversation that we were going to keep the Gen Xers together and just have the numbers. No matter what, we were going to go into it. But we didn't really, like, have this conversation, well, hey, you could trust me, yada, yada, yada. Obviously, Dave, he did have that conversation with Chris, and that's why I got voted off. They had that personal conversation that, hey, I got you, I trust you, so forth. But me and Chris, we really never had that conversation. We just kind of had this kind of relationship because, you know, I always had it in the back of my head, or even in the forefront, you know, you've been trying to vote me off since day one. So, I'm not a person who's fake. I'm not going to be, you know, running up to you now and say, hey, how you doing? Let me get to know you. You could trust me, because I'm like, in my head, you want me out the game, period. You don't want me in an alliance with you at all. So I didn't have that conversation with them, but I know Dave did.
So when you had that conversation with Michelle about potentially getting together and voting out David, did you think that she was just coming from a place of desperation, just trying to make something happen? Or were you considering maybe going with what she was saying?
I definitely felt like she was coming from a place of desperation because she definitely was panicking in Ride Try. But I did actually at one point consider her offer. I just was like, you know what? It actually, you know, it can make sense. And, you know, definitely it makes sense for your game plan because, you know, you don't want to go home. But I looked at it as I definitely felt she's way stronger than myself and Dave. So, I definitely agree with her when she said she's stronger than Dave in the challenge, because that was, you know, absolutely without a shadow of a doubt. But my thing is, I didn't want to be the Gen Xer to flip. I didn't want to be the first Gen Xer to flip. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have been the second, but I definitely didn't want to be the first. So I just was like, I don't want that. I already have a target on my back from Chris, and he's, you know, physical and good at the challenges. So I didn't want him coming for me again, like the way he was coming for me in the first couple episodes. So I'm like, I think your plan and your proposal is great, but it's just not the right timing. So that's one of my regrets, is that I didn't just go ahead and go with her. But then there's no guarantee it would have worked, because it was honestly there was a section where me, Chris, and Dave were talking to Zeke, and Zeke had agreed to vote out Michelle. So even though Michelle was saying, hey, I could get Zeke, I knew at that moment that she couldn't get Zeke because I knew Zeke was, well, he had said he was going to vote out Michelle, even though, lo and behold, they all were planning to vote me out. So I'm the one who has who on the egg on the face.
It's also a stretch to think that Zeke was going to turn on Chris, that Zeke is somebody who's looking for an ally, and then he finds this guy who he has so much in common with in Chris. Exactly. And it's, you know, so he would have had to also turn on him. So I'm not sure necessarily if that was going to happen. Could we go back to last week's vote a little bit also? Because there was so much that we didn't really get to see in terms of what was going into that tribal council. You and David both end up voting for Lucy at the previous vote. What conversations had you guys had going into that tribal council? Was this sort of, did you know he was going to play his idol and your two votes were going to send Lucy home?
My God. Not at all. Not at all. One, we didn't even know he had the idol. Like, we knew that he was looking in the first couple of episodes, the first couple of days of camp. We knew he was looking, but it was like, okay. And he said, no, I don't have an idol. I don't have an idol. So I didn't know he had an idol. Well, Ken knew he had an idol. I didn't know. So, you know, again, I'm really the one who's really, really on the outs, even though I'm with Dave and Ken. You know, actually, it was really the Ken and Dave party, lo and behold, because Ken knew about the idol. But no, going in, we said we were going to vote out Lucy because she was, you know, she was the target. She started, you know, doing a lot of huffing and puffing and, you know, being a little bullheaded at camp and being more dictatorship when we just got out paused. So Lucy was the target. So, you know, I know that Chris and Brett, they were gunning for Jessica because they were upset that she had stabbed them in the back, which is understandable. They were wanted to vote out Jessica. But me, Dave, and Ken, we said, and Jessica, because we had actually pulled Jessica in, we said we were going to vote out Lucy. And then, no, I don't know why David decided to use his idol at that time, especially when he wasn't even the target.
But do you feel like that he knew what was going on? Because ultimately, Ken doesn't vote for Lucy at that tribal council, and Jessica put a vote on you.
Yeah, she did. Like, lo and behold, I'm trying to save your behind, and I'm holding out Lucy, and here you go again, putting a target on me. I'm just like, are you serious, girl? I'm like, I am so done with you. So, yeah, I was upset about that when I watched that episode. I'm like, oh, wow, it's really like that. But I just think that Ken made it an emotional vote because he was upset with Jessica and the fact that he had trusted Jessica and told Jessica, hey, we're going to vote out Lucy, and I got your back. So I think Ken's vote was actually emotional, and when he voted out Jessica, and I think that now looking at it, that Dave saved Jessica for strategy because obviously Jessica was on an outs with her majority alliance, and now that she's on an outs, it'd be easier to bring her into our alliance. So maybe he felt that Jessica was more of use than Lucy at that time, anyways. So he just saved Jessica.
And then did Lucy really change her demeanor following Paul being voted out of the game? Because we didn't really hear a lot about her, but then there was all this talk about how she became a dictator from that point on. Or was Lucy kind of on the outs from before that?
No. She never was on the outs. Lucy was always part of the majority alliance. So she never was really with us in the first place, but she absolutely came alive. It was like, you know, the sleeping giant just came alive. It was like, okay, Paul's gone. Now here's his wife that's taken, taken up for and avenging her husband's death. It's just like, where is this coming from? Yeah, she just became a dragon after that. It's just like, she was like, hey, we're voting this. Hey, we're voting this way. I'm just like, really? Is that what we're doing? So, yeah, it definitely rubbed Ken the wrong way. And, you know, so that just was her demise after that.
Well, then let's keep going back and let's go back to the vote where Paul ended up going home. What was it like living with Paul? Was he somebody who was also seen as a dictator by the group?
Oh, my God. He it was like the Paul's Island. It was the Fiji Island. It was Paul's Island. It was just like from day one, he took his claim, he took his stake, he had this little perch he used to sit on in front of the whole tribe, and he would literally sit in front of us and sit there, and it was like a little high perch on top of the island at the top of the hill, and he would sit there and just look at us like this was his perch, this was his throne, this was Paul's Island, and he referred to all of us as kids, so right off the back, day one, I'm just like, dude, like, we all are adults. We all have kids. We are all grown and working. You are not the master of this tribe. So from day one, he was being a dictator. Absolutely.
You know, it seemed like that you got off on the wrong foot with this tribe, where you and Rachel were seen as the two people who were on the outs. How did things start to snowball for you in the wrong direction so quickly?
You know, it's kind of weird that that happened, because actually I was bonding with all the ladies. They just didn't show that. I don't know why they didn't, the editors didn't show all that, but I was actually, you know, I was getting to know Sunday. We had a lot of common, you know, me and Jessica and me and Lucy, we actually were all bonding, because it was the guys who were actually working on the wood part of the shelter and moving the big sticks and things to get the shelter going. And the ladies, we were, you know, weaving the pom poms, and David was helping us as well, weaving the pom poms, trying to do that portion of the shelter. So we did have a little bonding going on. There was a couple times when me and Rachel went off, but we weren't really doing any strategizing or anything. So I just think maybe they thought that we were just always conniving or strategizing. I'm like, who is doing that day one? Who is trying to be making alliances day one? Definitely not I. So I'm just like, I'm just trying to get to know her. She was fun to be around, and we had a lot in common. So we were walking together a lot. So I think they just thought, oh yeah, they're those two are in cahoots, when it was further from the truth. That's not what it was at all.
And who was the driving force on that vote of, okay, we're going to put the votes on Rachel and a couple votes on Cece? Is that all coming from Paul, or is that a group decision?
I think that was definitely Paul. I think it's without a shadow of doubt, because Ken was never with them. He was doing his own thing. No one knew how he was voting. I definitely believe it was Paul and Chris in that. I'm not going to even say Brett on that. I think it was Paul, Chris, and then Jessica was, I think she convinced Sunday and Lucy to vote me. So I think it was definitely Jessica leading the girls, and definitely Paul and Chris leading Brett and Dave to go ahead and vote Rachel.
You know, we talked a little bit about David, but how close did you become with Ken? It seemed like that you guys had formed a pretty tight three at Gen X before you guys ultimately swapped to different tribes.
Yeah, Ken, he has a heart of gold. He's really a sweetheart. He's really a good guy. And we had a lot of things in common, so we were bonding, you know, at time and time. He's just a good guy to talk to. So, you know, I tend to gravitate to guys who are just good guys and just have, you know, just over well-rounded good guys. So we had a lot to talk about when we were out there, especially during the days of the cyclone and bonding and snuggling and cuddling with everybody to stay warm. So we seemed to talk a lot. But I had a lot in common with him. So, yeah, I definitely would say that I was closest with Ken out there on Iowa than anyone else.
Now, Cece, how big of a fan of Survivor had you been before going on to the show?
Oh my God, I'm a ride or die. I'm like, I applied to this game 15 times. I know, I'm crazy. I really did. I just never was good enough. The first time I applied, I was 23 years old. I'll never forget, because my daughter was, I think she was 6 months old at the time. And I'm like, what am I doing? Who is leaving to go on Survivor with a baby? I am. I'll go. So I just been a fan since that time. And I just never gave up, because I just was like, one day I'm going to be on this show. I don't care if I'm 40 years old. I'm going to be on this show. And, you know, lo and behold, it happened. So I'm a super fan, and I will play again in a heartbeat. You know, I'm going to keep watching it every single week. I'm still going to keep posting, hey, Survivor Wednesdays is on, go watch. I love the game. I love the show. And I'm just, you know, excited to see what's going to come up on the next episode and see how the game plays out after this.
So how did it work out for you to ultimately end up being on the season? Had you kept applying this whole time?
Yes. I kept applying. I've been applying just about maybe every other year, and the way it worked out this time is I submitted the tape right after I did a couple of Spartan races, and I submitted the tape in, and it was, you know, I was like, you know, and then I had got, like, I was getting phone calls. I was getting, like, you know, some interest before, you know, over the 10 years that I was applying, like, I'll get a phone interview, and then they'd be like, oh, not this time, maybe next time, and so there was always interest from the casting directors that they were interested in me, so it was never, oh, you know, I just didn't hear anything from them, and then all of a sudden they called me, so throughout the years, there was always some interest, and that just motivated me to keep applying, but this time, actually, they actually called me 30 days before, you know, they shipped out. So that was the crazy part. They actually called me the day before finals. So the day before finals week. And it was like on a Sunday, and I got this random phone call at 9 p.m. at night. Hey, you want to get you in front of producers? I'm like, what are you talking about? I have a life. I'm going to work the next day. I was okay, I'll go ahead and oblige and see what you guys are talking about. And then lo and behold, I was next day. I was in finals week, and I just was like, wow, this is happening right now. So it was pretty crazy.
All right. Well, Cece, thank you so much for coming on and talking about the season, and all the best to you in the future. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you have it. Cece Taylor here on the podcast. Not Taylor and Figgy. Cece Taylor. And just a hard-working Gen Xer. Going to apply for Survivor. Going to keep on trying. Never give up. That's the Gen X way. It's a nice to talk to Cece. All right, so switching gears, let's talk to somebody else who never gives up. He's a hard-working millennial making this week in Survivor history the quiz show week after week for you guys here on Rob is a Podcast. Please welcome back our good friend, Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob. Happy birthday.
He's a hardworking millennial. That's right. That's like Jay.
Very hard work.
Like Jay. All right. Anyway, Jordan, how are you doing?
I'm good. I finished high school. I finished college. I have a 9-to-5, but I have the day off today so I can podcast with you.
Yes. Thank you very much. Very excited to have you here with us today to talk about this week in Survivor history. To keep, what is the historic winning streak at?
You have a 3-week winning streak, but in the past 2 weeks, you have not gotten a question wrong.
Wow. So how many questions in a row have I gotten?
You've gotten at least 12 in a row, right?
Are people pressuring you on social media as they go, you got to make the questions harder?
I don't
think
they are.
Stick it to the man.
A lot of the people on Twitter aren't getting all the questions right. So I think they're sort of impressed by you, but they don't think the questions are too easy. This week is going to have a little bit of a wrinkle because since it is your birthday, I have a little surprise for
what
you.
What is that, an old joke, wrinkled?
That was not an old joke. Not my intention.
Okay.
Wrong. So this is the This Week in RHAP History Quiz for your birthday. It's a birthday surprise. And we are going to start with the Survivor Nicaragua exit
interview.
Well,
hold on a second, Jordan, because This Week in Survivor History is sponsored by Nature Box. That's right. Did we ever talk about Nature Box in This Week in RHAP History?
Yes, we definitely have.
Yes, Nature Box, longtime sponsor of the podcast, delivering tasty snacks made with simple ingredients right to your door so you always have something better to snack on without feeling guilty, because God knows I have enough guilt in my life between not spending enough time with my don't get me started on my guilt. So that the last thing I need is guilt from my snacks.
Yeah, you don't want the snacks to cause the guilt. You want the snacks to be delicious, and I know Nature Box is delicious.
I want some snacks to relieve my guilt, and that's where Nature Box comes in handy, because they have 100 delicious snacks to choose from, ranging from the healthy to the indulgent, all with no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. I love me some dark cocoa nom noms. I love the pistachio power clusters. You put the Nature Box in front of me, I'm good to go. Just go to naturebox.com/RHAP, pick out your snacks and enjoy. It's that simple. They've got an incredible variety. They're always adding new snacks, always swapping things around, just like these Survivor tribes. And unlike traditional food companies that take between 12 to 18 months, listen to this, Jordan, Nature Box can launch a new snack in less than 12 weeks. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I have not.
No, it's impossible. You try to launch a snack. Let's see how long it takes you.
It took the Giants all offseason to land snacks.
Yes. Okay. Very inside, deep cut sports reference there. Plus, if there's ever a snack you don't like, you know what they're going to do?
What are they going to do?
Replace it for free.
Wow. That's amazing.
Okay. So right now, NatureBox is offering you 2 free snacks when you go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Avoid the guilt. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Get 2 delicious snacks for free. This offer will not last, so get your snacks today. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP for 2 free snacks. All right, Jordan. So how many free snacks do I get if I get all these questions right today?
I don't know. We're going to have to call up NatureBox. I'll try to make a deal with them. They say I make the best deals. And we will try to get you some free snacks if you win This Week in Survivor History, the birthday edition.
Birthday edition. Okay. Well, I get 2 free automatically, so I need at least 3 to really sweeten the pot.
Yes. So, and like we have done in the past, there are going to be 6 questions. You need at least 4 points to win. Each question is worth 1 point, and you can use a point doubler and a 50-50 at any point during this quiz. All right. We're going to go to the Survivor Nicaragua exit interview. This is from October 19th, 2010, 6 years ago yesterday.
Boy.
Are
these questions canon? I feel like if I get these wrong, I feel like this should not count against my Survivor record.
it counts. These are canon. Rob, you were involved with all of these podcasts, being that it's Rob has a podcast. So it does count. On Tyrone's RHAP exit interview, he said that Eve Rojas came up to him on day one and said, "Hey, Big Daddy, I'm a little lady. You going to watch my back for me?" How did Tyrone say that he responded to this? A, "I got you, little mama." B, "Shut up, stupid." C, "I'll watch your back. You watch mine." D, "You're such a nasty woman."
All right. Well, this is very deep cut. I have not, do not have a transcript of what Tyrone had to say. give me the choices again real quick one more time.
Okay. Did he say, "I got you, little mama"? B, "Shut up, stupid." C, "I'll watch your back. You watch mine." D, "You're such a nasty woman."
I'll go with A.
A, "I got you, little mama." Unfortunately, Rob, the streak is over. That is incorrect.
Come on.
When Eve,
what are we
came
doing?
Up
to him, you're asking me questions about what did Tyrone say in exit interviews?
Yes, it's this week in RHAP history. The fans have been asking for this. He actually said, "Shut up, stupid," according to him in the exit interview.
Okay.
So you are 0-1. The streak is over. I had to bust the streak, and there it is. All right.
I think the fix is in. This is a rigged game.
I don't know about that. Will you accept the results of the score?
No. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. All right. On October 22nd, 2010, On October 22nd, 2010, you had Coach on as the recap guest. How did you introduce yourself as part of the "Coming to You Live from My Apartment" shtick? A, "Now here's the world's most the world's foremost grandmaster of podcasting, Rob Cesternino." B, "Now here's the guy who podcasts more than Guillermo Vilas, Rob Cesternino." C, "Now here's the guy who always eats all the chicken, Rob Cesternino." Or D, "Now here's the guy who will be answering a trivia question about this sentence in 2016, Rob Cesternino."
I'm not loving this. I have to be honest. Not prepared. I don't remember what I podcast about yesterday. Don't quiz me about
it's
I podcast
words,
about 6 years ago.
It's your own words.
I never said that. I never said any of these things.
You said one of them.
What is the choices again, real quick?
"Now here's the world's foremost grandmaster of podcasting, Rob Cesternino." "Now here's the guy who podcasts more than Guillermo Vilas, Rob Cesternino." "Now here's the guy who always eats all the chicken, Rob Cesternino."
I'll say B.
"Now here's the guy who podcasts more than Guillermo Vilas, Rob Cesternino." Unfortunately, that is incorrect. I made that one up. It's the first one. "Now here's the world's foremost grandmaster of podcasting, Rob Cesternino." And I think you still are the world's foremost grandmaster of podcasting.
I don't think that is a true statement, but I appreciate the compliment. But yeah, I mean, we're drawn dead here. I'm not going to remember the stuff that you could quiz me about last month in Survivor history, and I'm not going to be able to tell you what I said on any of these podcasts.
Yeah, you've done a decent amount of podcasts since then, thousands and thousands of hours. But these were all, I listened back. I did a lot of research this week into RHAP history, and this is what we came up with.
Okay.
So question number three. So now we're going to go to Survivor South Pacific. This is the exit interview from October 21st, 2011, 5 years ago tomorrow. How did Elise Yumimoto describe her relationship with Ozzy? A, a romance. B, a bromance. C, she wouldn't call it a relationship. Or D, hot and heavy.
I'll say C.
She wouldn't call it a relationship. Actually, she described it as a bromance, which was kind of weird. She was sort of describing it as a friendly relationship and was discounting the fact that they had any sort of romantic entanglement. But it was actually a bromance, the way that she described it in the exit interview, which doesn't really make any sense.
Yep. It doesn't make any sense. You're right.
And you're 0-3.
Any sense to think that I'm memorizing what Elise Yumimoto said in 2012.
She's a legend in Survivor history, Rob. It's Elise.
It's a rigged game, okay?
Actually, I'm not going to give you that. It's not rigged. The game is not flawed, and we're going to go to question number four.
I got too many questions right, and now you are trying to rig this game against me.
Guess what, Bro Chacho? You can still win the game because you have a point doubler and you need 4 points to win. There are 3 questions left. So there's a total of 4 points left on the board. And since it is your birthday, what I'm going to do today, I am going to let you use the point doubler after you hear any of the next three questions. Usually you have to use it before. This is my birthday present to you. So, number four, on the same day as the Elise exit interview, you released a podcast entitled The Upolu Power Struggle and Johnny Fairplay Partying Hard for Rob's Birthday. Before Fairplay even
one of my worst podcasting moments, I would also add.
Potentially. Before Fairplay even came on the podcast with you and Nicole, you jokingly postulated that season 25 of Survivor would feature which two castaways? A, Cerie Fields versus Rob Cesternino. B, Ozzie Luth versus Fabio Berza. C, Coach Wade versus Boston Rob. D, John Cochran versus Stephen Fishback.
I will say D, Cochran versus Fishback.
Cochran versus Fishback. And would you like to make this your doubled question?
No.
You would not? Well, you should have. You are correct. You're on the board. John Cochran versus Stephen Fishback. And you said that the title would be Stefan versus Cochran. and this stemmed from a mini Twitter feud that they had relating to Starburst.
First of many feuds for Cochran and Fishback.
Yeah, I think that was the birth of it. That was Cochran's original season. And they were going at it then just as hard as they go at it now on Twitter. So... This segment is called Happy Damn Birthday, Bro.
Yes.
Question number five. While you do not share a birthday with another Survivor contestant, you do share a birthday week with multiple survivors. Which of the following contestants does not have a birthday this week in Survivor history
okay.
and therefore has to do everyone else's dishes? A, Darnell Hamilton. B, Anna Shapiro. C, Alec Christie. D, Chet Welch. This is basically how well do you pay attention to Facebook?
Yeah, boy, and you're assuming that I'm Facebook friends with any of these people.
Probably Facebook friends with Darnell or maybe Hannah.
I'm Twitter friends. I don't know if I'm Facebook friends. I actually think I'm Facebook friends with Chet Welch. But so it's Darnell, Hannah, Alec, Christy, and Chet.
And which one does not have a birthday this week?
Ah, boy, who's the most random of this group? Like, who would be the fake one? Boy, I'll say Alec Christie does not have a birthday this week.
Rob, you are correct. You have 3 points. Alec Christie's
doesn't seem
birthday,
like a Libra to me.
Nope, his birthday is May 30th. He actually shares a birthday with me. He's the only survivor who was born on May 30th. So that's why I chose him.
Okay.
And you have 3 points. If you get this last question right, it would be the greatest comeback in Survivor history. You, except for maybe Chris Daugherty, and you would win the game.
Within striking distance. Okay.
You are definitely in striking distance. Question number six. Only
you can still get the wild card.
Yeah, and you still have your 50-50.
Okay.
Only four Survivor contestants have been voted out on episodes that have aired on October 20th, which is your birthday. Which one of the following is included in this four? A, Brian Corydon. B, Kelly Wentworth from Survivor San Juan del Sur. C, Rob Zabaknik. D, Cowboy.
So Brian Corydon, Kelly in San Juan del Sur. Who are the other two? Cowboy and who?
Cowboy and your best friend, Rob Zabaknik.
Okay. Rob Zabaknik. Okay. I can use the 50-50 and the vote doubler.
You can use the 50-50.
Okay. And I think it's presumed.
Yes, and your point.
Yeah.
You didn't use the point doubler. So if you use the point doubler, that's the only way you could win.
Okay. So yeah. So use the point doubler. Can I use the 50-50 also?
Yeah, you can use both.
Okay. Go for it.
All right. So the people that are still in the running, we have Brian Corydon and Rob Zabaknik. And you're using the point doubler. This is a 2-point question. If you get this right, you win the game.
And am I trying to think of people that got voted out on my birthday or did not get voted out on my birthday?
Who did get voted out on your birthday.
And only one of them did?
Only one of them did. Yes. The rest of them were voted out this week in Survivor history.
What a birthday present that would have been back in 2002 if Rob Zabaknik could have been voted out on my birthday. And I'm trying to think of what I was doing on my birthday that year.
There's strategy involved with this question. You've always said you're able to picture where you are when you were watching the episode. So I think that this is one you might be able to get.
But if I recall, the birthday before I went on Survivor that year, I feel like it was a Sunday, an NFL Sunday, and I believe the New York Jets played the Minnesota Vikings on that day in 2002, unless I'm getting it confused with the All-Stars, but I hope I'm not. I don't think I am. I will say Brian Cordon got voted out October 20th.
Rob, you have won the game. Congratulations. What a comeback. Brian Cordon was voted out on your birthday. And the interesting thing actually about October 20th, there have only been two episodes ever on your birthday, and they were both double boot episodes. So it was actually Brian and Margaret who were voted out in that episode. And then Kelly, Bruno, and Eve Rojas were voted out in Survivor Nicaragua. So it would have been a great birthday present if Rob Zabaknik was voted out on your birthday. And did the Jets happen to beat the Vikings?
I have no idea. I just remember that, like, where I was in terms of getting ready. Like, my parents had like a party for my birthday because I don't have friends, and two, because I was leaving for Survivor shortly thereafter.
We'd have to ask Alex Chester about that.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Jordan Kalish. The streak is done, but the winning
streak is still alive. It doesn't matter how much you win by. It just matters if you win the game, which you did on the last question. So yeah. Congratulations. And I will see you next week.
I don't know if the listeners are going to like the RHAP trivia.
Hey, the listeners are the ones who are asking for the This Week in RHAP history.
We'll see what the response
is. 2 years.
We'll see what the response is. All right. Well, Jordan, thank you again. I always appreciate the hard work, and looking forward to getting back into this. And I will see you in New York at the Live Know-It-Alls.
Oh, man, it's going to be huge.
Okay. All right. Take care, buddy. Bye.
All right. You too.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Jordan Kalish, This Week in Survivor History. Boy, gave me a good scare on trying to remember things from Survivor Nicaragua exit interviews, but we made it through. We made it through the storm, and the winning streak will continue. All right, so here's what's going on. Very busy Thursday here on the podcast. Going to go and talk to Kimmy Kappenberg very shortly after this, and then later on tonight, I'm going to get into the voicemails with Allie Lasher. So get your voicemails in. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. So I'm going to jump off. Have a good one, everybody. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.